Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a new series of Where to Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor at DK Eyewitness.
And welcome to Where to Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best.
Yes.
So it's a new series, Lucy.
Yes.
We've had a couple of weeks off.
Yes.
How are you feeling about the new series?
I'm really excited because we've got some really wonderful guests coming on and lots of great chats about books that we're publishing as well. So
yes.
I'm feeling stoked. How about you? And have you had a nice summer?
Yes, that didn't mean to sound like I was unsure there. I'm very, very excited about the new series. As you say, we've got some brilliant guests and there's some really, really exciting new DK Eyewitness books coming out over the next couple of months. So do make sure to sort of tune in to find out a little bit more about those. But in terms of my summer, it's been here and there. It's been sort of like it's been a little bit of a kind of beginnings of freedom in a way.
Yeah.
It's taken some getting used to kind of like going out and about and around in the past couple of months. But actually, and I know you've been doing the same, but we've been in the process of moving house.
I was
So we've had to kind of move around London a little bit. You're staying with friends, staying in an Airbnb, and so on, just while we're in between houses. And I've kind of in the midst of that, I've taken on Zoe's advice from last season and kind of explored London a little bit more. So I've definitely seen bits of South London a lot more than I have known before.
Whereabouts in South London have you?
So I'm currently speaking to you from sort of Herne Hill, Dulwich Way.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely sort of Dulwich Park, and Brockwell Park is just down the road as well. Lovely kind of little shops and restaurants, and actually big shout out to some of the delis around here as well. There's some really lovely little places to go for lunch. There's a place called Christopher's around the corner from here, which is stunning.
Nice, good tip.
And then kind of trying to get out and about around London, see friends, get back to usual in some ways. How about you?
Yeah, I much like you have been just enjoying London and East London, which is where I'm based. But, you know, I've had a few kind of family events. So I've been to a wedding in Yorkshire, which was wonderful. It was at this gorgeous venue and in the Yorkshire Dales, just surrounded by rolling hills. And it kind of felt like, you know, partying like it was 2019, which was really nice after being cooped up for 18 months. It was wonderful. And then back to my hometown because my niece is getting christened. So it's actually been just nice to kind of have time in London. I've tried to sort of time it so I'd have a weekend in London and then a weekend out of London somewhere in the UK, which I recommend. That's been a really nice balance. But at the same time, hankering for a trip abroad at some point, hopefully. I don't know when.
I'm certainly starting to think about like kind of travel outside of the country now for the first time in you know,
and you will get
18
there
months,
trained.
Which is so exciting.
Yes, it's you will get there. You will get those trips booked in.
We certainly will. So back to today's episode, and I'm really, really excited by this guest.
Yes, so to kick off series three, we're talking to the one and only travel expert, Holly Rubinstein, founder of one of the UK's biggest travel podcasts, The Travel Diaries, interviewing guests like Yotam Ottolenghi, Sir Trevor MacDonald and Annie Mack about their lives in travel. But today we're talking to the one and only Holly herself about her life in travel. So welcome, Holly.
Welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much. Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to the podcast.
It's so nice to have you here on the other side of the mic,
I know.
If you will.
Let's see how this goes.
Exactly. So in a break from the normal format, we're going to talk to Holly about three destinations rather than one that are close to her heart, which are Miami, the Cotswolds and West Sussex.
Yeah.
So two kind of domestic ones and one very much not so domestic. So very, very much looking forward to hearing what you have to say about those, Holly. So firstly, we are talking about Miami. So Holly, I'm really curious, what made you pick Miami? You sort of said in earlier when we were talking to us that it's almost like your second home. How has that happened? Like how have you made this connection with Miami?
Well, so I first visited Miami in Florida when I was 10 weeks old. So an early love, you could say.
I'm guessing you don't quite remember it from that.
No, but my memories really do stretch back pretty far. My grandma and my aunt and uncle, they moved down from New York. The father's side of my family is American, and they moved down from New York to South Florida, as many New Yorkers did. And my parents bought an apartment there in the 1970s. And so we'd travel there for most school holidays. And, you know, to say that I loved it there is an understatement. I remember everything about Miami so vividly. I'd go there kind of four times a year. It would be something that I'd count down to at the start of every school holiday. And from the moment I got on the plane to coming out of the airport and being hit by the humidity that you feel when you get out in Miami, then to be into the air conditioning of the taxi and the smell of the air conditioning, seeing the palm trees, being surrounded by Spanish being spoken everywhere and hearing the cicadas chirping at night. All these things kind of enveloped me when I arrived in Miami, and I knew that I was kind of back home with a lot of people that I loved and missed. And it still is just a huge part of my identity today.
Fantastic. I mean, that's such a visual kind of portrait of like kind of coming in and experiencing the city again and revisiting it too.
Are there, so if, you know, if we were to come over, Holly, are there any places that you'd recommend that we go while we were in Miami? What are kind of the must-dos?
Oh my goodness, there are so many. I think the most important thing to say is, first and foremost, is that Miami is a bit of a love it or hate it destination. And when I have friends or colleagues that visit, they either adore it or they really despise it. And it's because I think, like a lot of cities, you need to know where to go. And if you go to the wrong bit, you're not going to have a great experience. So one of my favorite parts of Miami is Collins Avenue, which is the famous stretch that runs along South Beach, which has the incredible, beautifully preserved Art Deco architecture. Miami has the highest concentration of Art Deco buildings in the world, dotted with palm trees, lit up at night. Really magical. But that part of Miami also has its famous wild nightlife as well. So, you know, if you want to have a restful, peaceful vacation, then staying in that side of Miami, you know, might not work so well for you. So I definitely think that knowing where to go and doing your research as to which bits have got, you know, the nightclubs and that busy nightlife and which bits are more chilled and more beachy and relaxed is a definite, like, important start. And then I could tell you so many places that I would recommend visiting.
I guess really it almost depends on what you want to see in Miami, in terms of there's so many different like kind of cultures kind of meeting there, in terms of there's the American South meeting Cuban, Colombian, various Latin American kind of influences, Caribbean influences.
Exactly. Miami is like the ultimate cultural melting pot, and that is what is so fantastic about it as a city. I mean, starting off, Little Havana, you know, the heart of Miami's Cuban diaspora. And then the neighborhood is centered all around Calle Ocho, which is a street lined with Latin-inspired restaurants. There are bakeries, there are cigar shops, there are rum bars and galleries. And wherever you are, you hear the sound of Cuban music playing. There are locals gathering, playing dominoes in the street. It's very colourful. There are lots of murals. And there are some great restaurants. If you're into your Cuban food, there's no way better way to experience Cuban culture, I think, than through its food, because they put so much love into their food. There's a really famous restaurant called Versailles, which is probably the most famous in Little Havana. And it's a family-owned restaurant, really actually no frills, but it's just very authentic Cuban dishes. Lots of Cuban families there, all generations eating late into the night. And there are also a lot of restaurants there that have what are known as ventanitas, which translates as little windows, where you can get food on the go, like a little Cuban sandwich or an empanada, that kind of thing. Cool. So yeah, Little Havana is a definite place that I'd recommend. I'd also really recommend anyone that goes to Miami to go to Wynwood. So the Wynwood District didn't even exist when I was growing up traveling to Miami. I only discovered it recently when I returned, having not been there for several years. But it's now one of the city's most buzzing districts. And the Wynwood Walls is an outdoor museum showcasing the most large-scale works of graffiti. This vast area where every wall, every iota, every inch of the wall is covered in the most beautiful street art. And the area has attracted a lot of craft breweries and art galleries and like really cool chic boutiques and like the trendiest restaurants. So like among all this amazing cool street art, there are like loads and loads of new openings and just cool places. Like it's just a place that I would head to straight away, and is not on the coast. Like it's a bit set back, so if you're having like a day at the beach, it's like quite a nice contrast to then go into this kind of more gritty graffiti type part of Miami.
Absolutely.
That sounds so cool.
It's really fun
and very, very different as well to the kind of stereotype of Miami, as well as just being like kind of beachy and stuff.
Exactly. But actually Miami has such a strong art scene, and every year, actually, the murals at Wynwood are refreshed for Miami Art Week, and then they have Art Basel there as well. So there is a really thriving art scene there.
Amazing, amazing. Oh, that sounds brilliant. So two brilliant recommendations on kind of where to go in Miami. Is there anywhere else that you kind of would recommend, or is there just too much?
I would say when you're in Miami, like obviously it's absolutely a must that you must do some kind of Art Deco tour of South Beach. And anyone that pictures Miami probably envisions South Beach, this amazing Art Deco architecture. And there's a great restaurant that I recommend called Joe's Stone Crab. Some of the best crab claws and key lime pie in Miami. Lovely. That's in the SoFi district. And if you like shopping, which I do, one of the highlights of my trips whenever I went to Miami was going to the mall there. It's Aventura Mall. It's the fifth largest mall in America and is really beautiful. It's actually a really beautiful mall, a really beautiful place to go. If it's a stormy day, which it often is in Miami, depending on what time of year you go, then if you could do a little half day trip there. And most recently, actually, I discovered Isla Morada, which is the first of the Florida Keys that is out of Miami, about an hour and a quarter's drive. And it's absolutely magical. A taste of the Caribbean, just a short drive from the city. Crystal clear blue waters, you know, amazing marine life, a completely tropical vibe, the most amazing beaches. And actually it was so special that I got engaged there. Ah. My now husband thought it was so romantic that that is where he decided to propose. So it's a really great place to go.
I didn't realize you had that connection to yes. Miami, as well as your family connection.
Exactly. I was going to say, so you've got family and love. That's wonderful. Well, I can totally understand why it's one of your special places, because it sounds amazing and it's got amazing connections as well.
I hope that everyone that listens will visit Miami and love it as much as I do.
Now we're a little bit closer to home and we're going to talk about the Cotswolds. So, Holly, when did you first visit the Cotswolds?
Well, I've been visiting the Cotswolds in my kind of school breaks and then, you know, my adult life, really whenever I can get a little break out of London. I think what's so fantastic about the Cotswolds is it's just an hour and a half's drive from London where I live. Mm. And yet it feels so far removed from city life.
Yes.
And so I get there as much as I can. And actually in recent months and years, I've gone there more and more and discovered more and more. And I just love it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think it's so easy and accessible to get to. It's obviously just a short drive, but there's also like transport hubs like Oxford and stuff that you can kind of go to and easily travel out of as well.
Exactly. What
is it that, like, which places do you keep on kind of revisiting? Where do you go each time you visit the Cotswolds?
Oh, that's a tough one, because I do try and explore a different part each time. Most recently, actually, I went to the charming village of Barnsley. You can really feel its history, Barnsley. It's near to lots of the famous kind of quintessential picture postcard chocolate box villages of the Cotswolds. So Boughton on the Water with its five bridges crossing the river, which runs through its heart. And then Bybury's ancient Arlington Row. If you Google Arlington Row, you'll probably recognise it. You'll probably have seen it on Instagram. It's this collection of 14th century cottages on the banks of a river. Mm. And it's deemed so iconic that it's actually on the inside of British passports.
Oh, okay.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I need to take a look.
Yeah. It's such an iconic part of the Cotswolds and part of our country. So that is one of my favourite places at the moment, because it's so well connected to visit these, you know, famous spots. And Barnsley itself has a few lovely pubs, and I stayed most recently at Barnsley House, which is a country house hotel that's been, yeah, a beautiful old house that's been converted into a boutique hotel with lovely landscape gardens and just a really homey, unpretentious feel, great food. And yeah, I've been there actually a couple of times and really, really love it there.
And what are some of the kind of features of the Cotswolds that kind of like draw you back time and time again? Is it the scenery? Is it the pubs? Is it the, you know, the being outside of London?
Pace of life, I suppose, as well.
It's definitely the pace of life, for sure. I mean, like, it's that quintessential bucolic bliss, isn't it? You know, it's the countryside that inspired Jane Austen and Lewis Carroll. And, you know, it lives up to its name. It's like, the Cotswolds actually translates to sheep on rolling hillsides. I looked this up for our podcast.
Oh.
That's kind of what its old English name really means. And, you know, I don't know if you both have been to the Cotswolds, but that undulating green fields dotted with the fleece of little sheep everywhere. It's that kind of, it makes your shoulders drop.
Yes.
And it makes you breathe in the fresh air and really feel like you're getting away from it all.
Yeah, I think it's that every time I've been, and I've been to a few places like kind of dotted around, it's always that, you know, the kind of silence and quiet. It's the it's the hillsides, like kind of rolling kind of farmlands and stuff as well that you kind of pass.
And great pubs.
Great pubs. That's what I was thinking, if I'm honest.
As Lucy was saying, you know, the food, because there's such an emphasis on like farm to table produce, the amount of great restaurants and great pubs in such a short, Well, actually, it's not a small area. It's 1,000 square kilometres, the Cotswolds. It's vast, actually. Mm. But in that area, outside of a city, in the rural countryside, to have so many great restaurants is just like such a treat. You could just spend every holiday, I think, exploring a little corner of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And are there kind of any particular like kind of favourite pubs or restaurants that you've been to up there?
Oh, that's a good question.
Sorry, that's putting you on the spot a little bit.
I really love the Wild Rabbit in Kingham. So Kingham is a really, really quaint and charming village. And at its heart is the Wild Rabbit, which is linked to Daylesford, which a lot of people might have heard of. Daylesford have shops actually, you know, in London as well. And they're known for their kind of farm produce, and they have some properties as well. And the Wild Rabbit is a small hotel with just a few rooms, and they have the most fantastic pub that really like showcases the local cuisine to a level that is just absolutely phenomenal. And I'd go back there again and again if I could.
Brilliant. Top tip.
There's also a collection of really beautiful boutique hotels, Dormy House, Fox Hill Manor, and The Fish, and they have great, great restaurants. They're nearer to Broadway, which is a completely different part of the Cotswolds to Kingham. So when you're looking to book a trip to the Cotswolds or organise a trip, you have to see where they are on the map because they're all in different areas. But those three hotels are great for like a romantic like weekend getaway, and they have excellent food. I stayed at The Fish in a treehouse. They have these tree houses where you access them via a drawbridge. You can bring dogs, and they have this really like lovely kind of canopy outlook. And if you really want to get away, a feeling of getting away, I think being like up in the trees and looking out at a kind of rolling fields is super fun. And like the novelty of a treehouse just gets me every time.
Yeah, I have to say I'm desperate. I'm thinking of an October trip, and I'm desperate to do a slightly quirkier stay. And I've been looking at, you know, kind of canopy and stars type experiences with a tree house and an outdoor bath and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, it has an outdoor bath.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sold. Thank you, Holly. I will book that after this podcast recording.
Here at DK Eyewitness, we're back to publishing new guides to your favourite destinations, including new eyewitness guides to France, England's South Coast, Italy and Scotland. To browse a range, visit your local bookshop or follow the link in our episode bio.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we're going to move on to West Sussex now. So slightly further south, slightly different part of the UK. And why particularly West Sussex, Holly?
Well, I felt I had to mention West Sussex because I grew up on the Surrey-West Sussex border, but my mother's side of the family all lived in West Sussex. So each weekend, each holiday, we'd travel down to West Sussex, or you know, it was only a few minutes from us, and immediately we'd be immersed in spectacular countryside. We'd have the South Downs, amazing market towns, Petworth, Arundel, Chichester, just to name a few, and the beach. You know, that's in contrast to the Cotswolds. You've got both pebble and white sand beaches there, some of the most beautiful beaches in this country. And it's just a county that just has so much to offer, and I'm its biggest champion.
So you sort of hit on a few the specifics, but what are some of your kind of must do's, like your sort of top three must do's for the area?
So, well, on my podcast, one of the chapters of the Travel Diaries is picking your hidden gem. And I would say the ultimate hidden gem is Arundel. So Arundel is a beautiful market town. It's really close to London. You know, you could get there in an hour and a half's drive or on a relatively short train journey, and it's very accessible for other people as well from other parts of the country. My husband says it's like a Game of Thrones set, just to kind of set, give you like an idea. So if you to picture it, there's a big medieval Arundel castle that towers over the town, and it's surrounded by, you know, castle walls, and inside the castle walls there are the most beautiful gardens. And then there are, as the town stretches outwards towards the river, which envelops it, the River Arun, there are individual restaurants. You know, there are very few chains, really lovely individual boutiques as well. And it's surrounded by nature. So with the big castle on the hill, you've got all these like great restaurants and stuff. And you go down to the river. You could take a walk in the Wildfowl Trust, which is at the bottom of the hill, or at the magical Swanbourne Lake. This is all walking distance from each other, which looks like New Zealand, looks more like New Zealand than England, honestly. Like big towering hills, amazing glittering lakes with little geese and moorhen and swans, with people on rowboats. And then after you've done your walk, then you can have a pub roast or a pint at the Black Rabbit Pub, which is on the banks of the river, that just there. And or you could even hop on a boat trip to explore the surrounding countryside. So it's one of the loveliest places in the world. It is a day trip that everyone should do. I just can't recommend it enough.
I feel like I'm really missing out now. I've never done this or even considered it that much.
And also the fact you've sort of created a perfect itinerary. So, you know, I'm going to do all of those things. That sounds wonderful.
Great. I mean, that is what I do. Like whenever I go there, that's like my kind of ideal day. And it's my happy place. I refer to it always as my happy place. Like it's just stunning.
Well, listeners, if you ever manage to do that itinerary, please let us and Holly know. Let us know how you get on. I'd love to see pictures of that. And, you know, what is the best time of year to kind of visit if you're going to Arundel, if you're going to West Sussex?
August is a great time to visit Arundel because there's the famous Arundel Festival where there's all kinds of outdoor events going on around in the castle grounds, you know, Shakespeare. They have amazing Tulip Festival earlier in the year. And nearby Chichester has a really thriving art scene. It has one of the most kind of popular theatres outside of London. And they have a great festival as well of theatre. So, but having said that, you know, Arundel at Christmas, super charming and has lovely, lovely lights, and it's very tasteful. It's a very tasteful, like demure destination. And there, I forgot to mention actually, there are loads of afternoon tea shops. So if you like went in the winter, you know, you could have like your cream tea you know, do a little touch of shopping, and it's just delightful.
Fantastic. I mean, coming up to Christmas, maybe a little trip over there.
Absolutely.
Get it in my diary. Just need a day.
Cool. And sort of elsewhere in West Sussex, like, where is there anywhere else that you particularly kind of recommend? Obviously, that as you say, there's quite a lot. There's a load of coastline. There's lots of historical sites as well.
Well, I just this last weekend actually was in West Wittering, which is another part of West Sussex where there is a very famous white sand beach, which stretches for miles. Is this kind of firm white sand, which where the water is very shallow, going very far out. So the water actually feels very warm. And it's a place that's attracted a lot of celebs. A lot of celebs have houses there, like Kate Winslet and Kenneth Branagh, looking out over the beach. It's kind of like the UK's, one of the UK equivalents of like the Hamptons, you could say. Mm. And there is the most exquisite pub there, which I would... It's a bit far for me to go if I wasn't going down there for like the full day, like just not for dinner. But I really recommend the Crown and Anchor at Del Quay, which is near to West Wittering. It's a 16th century pub, which is right on the water's edge of Chichester Harbour. Oh, and it just looks out over the yachts bobbing. It's got lots of green around it. So it's quite an unusual vista. And the food is excellent. Loads of outdoor seating. They even actually, I saw this weekend, have like these new little outdoor pods that you can sit in as well. They're always adapting for the times. And they've done a great job, and that part of West Sussex I also would really recommend. And if you're into antiques, I'd really recommend Petworth. Petworth is another beautiful town, like really, really stunning architecture. One of those, just like Arundel actually, where there's obviously I can't say for certain, but it's kind of like you would imagine it's in a conservation area and that the architecture has all been perfectly preserved. So the aesthetic is just super intact. It's just stunning. And it's got such a high concentration of antique shops. And if you're into kind of antiquing, it's probably the best place in the country. It's kind of renowned for that.
Yeah, I've heard this before. I've had family members go there and come back with like loads of weird and wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I'm about to move flats. So in all seriousness, I need some furniture. So that's actually a really good recommend. Thank you, Holly. You're giving me so many recommends.
You're so welcome.
Well, I was just thinking in the last like 20 minutes, you've given us about 6 or 7 different day trips out of London that we can
exactly,
do quite easily, which is fantastic. So thank you very much for that. So with that, we will now move on to our quickfire round. So in this section, we're going to ask Holly some quickfire travel questions. You can choose from anywhere in the world for your answers. Nowhere is out of bounds. So keep your answers short. Don't overthink it. First thing that comes to mind, it's almost like word association.
Okay. First one, favourite restaurant?
Ooh, favourite restaurant. The first place that came to mind was El Saler de Can Roca in Girona, which was... one of the best restaurants in the world. I interviewed one of the chefs here in the UK and he invited me out to Spain. And it happened to be that I was going to that part of Spain. And so I got to go there and meet them and eat there. And it was one of the most memorable and pinch yourself moments I've ever had.
What did you eat?
I mean, what didn't I eat? It was like 10 courses. My mind was blown. There were fireworks going off. There were trolleys coming with all different weird and wonderful creations. It was a spectacle like nothing else, in a very unassuming part of Girona, actually, in a corner bit of a car park, but you go inside and it's like another world. And it was the year that I went voted the best restaurant in the world.
Oh, amazing. Oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
That sounds like an incredible experience.
And lovely perk of the job as well to get invited along by the chef himself. So next question. You may have already covered this. Who knows? Your favourite view?
Ooh, okay. The first place... I'm not going to caveat it by saying the first place that comes to mind for everything. This is the first place that comes to mind. It is the view of Lake Maggiore from the Swiss Slither, which is in the north. Everyone thinks that Lake Maggiore is just in Italy. No, some of it is in Switzerland. There's a park called Ascona. And you look out, plunging mountains into the water. They're green and verdant, the water's sparkling, there are palm trees. You'd never know you're in Switzerland, and it is just breathtaking.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Sounds breathtaking.
That sounds
now crazy. Again, I'm repeating you, James. You might have already answered this, Holly, but best place to spend a day?
Okay, best place to spend a day. Well, I'm a big fan of Wimbledon Village, actually. Wimbledon Village, just outside of central London, has Wimbledon Common. It has the park. It has gorgeous pubs and boutique restaurants, obviously near to Wimbledon. You've got an extra added atmosphere. I've discovered this area more recently, and it's an area that I've fallen in love with for sure. Cannizzaro Park, another beautiful place to go for a walk. I really recommend it.
Yeah, Cannizzaro Park. I've been to one or two weddings in Cannizzaro Park, and
what a place for a wedding.
Stunning. It's really, really nice. And much as you were talking about with the Cotswolds before, like some of the pubs on like on Wimbledon Common are actually quite kind of like countrysidey style pubs.
Totally. Like, you feel like you're out of the city when you're there, and that's just such a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's really kind of takes you out of London for sure. And I'm sure my family would love to hear that. They're from Wimbledon too, so hi family. Okay, so next up, your favourite place to drink.
Favourite place to drink. Well, when I was in the Maldives, it was the last place that I went before COVID. So it's the last flight that I took, which was actually my honeymoon. And I stayed at a hotel called the Waldorf Astoria Itafushi. And they had a restaurant there called Terra, which was one of the most architecturally interesting places I've ever eaten or drank. They are nest-like bamboo pods that are in the trees of the canopy. So one of the, it's the highest restaurant in the whole of the Maldives. And you get inside your own nest and you can see just, you know, twinkling blue water and sand for miles, and you sit in your pod and you have your own like romantic evening, and that is probably one of my most memorable dining experiences and drinking experiences for sure.
And what were you drinking, Holly? Champagne?
Well, it was honeymoon, so yeah, I would say so.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Has to be done.
Okay, so next question, two more. Most welcoming place.
I think that's a really good question. I'm going to take a minute to think about my answer.
Yeah, go for it. That's, don't worry.
You're putting you on the spot with all of these.
Well, you know, I would say for me, the most welcoming place to travel is probably being the US. It's a country I know really well. I spent 2 months traveling around it extensively a couple of years ago, and the West Coast in particular, and the amount of people that struck up a conversation with me, and you know, it was so charmed by my British accent. You know, I really found that it was a stark contrast to my, you know, normal existence here in the UK, and particularly in kind of more rural or remote parts of the US, the warmth and hospitality that's been extended has always been like really memorable. And we've made some like, just like really happy memories and connections as a result of that. They stick in my mind. So that was the first place that came to my mind then.
Great.
Brilliant. And I think I know the answer to this, but the next place that you're planning to visit.
Well, you know that because you sent me some beautiful Dorling Kindersley DK books, James. The next place that I'm planning to visit is Cornwall. I can't get enough of it. I have already been there during this whole pandemic time, and it is a wonderful place to go. But after that, my first place abroad, I'm going to Provence, to Vaison-la-Romaine, which is about an hour from Avignon, a historic Roman market town with incredible Roman ruins that are preserved there. And it's just a lovely Provençal village that happens to be where I have family. And it will be really lovely to finally get out of the UK.
Get out of the UK and reconnect with your family as well. That's
exactly. That sounds wonderful.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Well, congratulations on surviving the quickfire round.
I really enjoyed it.
You did it with aplomb. It was fantastic. And thank you so much for appearing on the podcast too.
Yeah, thank you,
it's
honey.
Been
Oh, it's an honour.
Thank you so much. It's been great. And also just such a wonderful variety of places as well. Like impressive with the quickfire. We really travelled all around the world just then. Loved it.
Yeah. It was really, you know, we went to London, we went out to Europe, and then we came back to the UK. It was it was magical. Well done.
Amazing. Well, you know, the DK guides have come with me on virtually every trip that I've taken throughout my life, you know, whether it's the top 10s or or, you know, your new guides out to come, which I'll be taking with me on my future trips, you know, they really have been like a trusty companion, a friend with me on my journey. So it's a real honor to be part of something like your podcast.
Thank you, Holly. That's lovely.
Amazing to hear it. And listener, you can find all episodes of The Travel Diaries on wherever you get your podcasts, pretty much.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
I very much recommend listening to it. And actually, you may find some little discounts for Like a Local on some recent episodes too. So listen out for those. So thanks once again, Holly. It's been brilliant to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Once again, a huge thank you and a huge honour to Holly and Lucy. It's also great to be back as well.
Oh, it's so great to be back. And we started season 3 with a bang, with the wonderful Holly. It was wonderful.
Really, it's definitely starting strong and so many places to go. So many places already on our list.
Yes.
I think we are certainly ready to travel again.
Yes, definitely. So yes, once again, a huge thank you to Holly. And season 6, The Travel Diary, starts in mid-October, listeners.
And you can join us again, where we'll be back to our destinations. We will actually be travelling out to visit Copenhagen. So very, very excited about that. Pretty incredible city.
It's one of my favourite cities.
One of the homes of kind of Scandi cool, whilst also being super historic as well. It's going to be great. So until then, listener, thank you for joining us. Thank you to Lucy.
And thank you, James.
And we shall see you soon.
Where to Go is produced by the team at DKI Witness and the wonderful Julia Baker. It was presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards and mastered by Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recordings. For more information about DKI Witness, follow us on social media at DKI Witness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
And please remember to like, rate, review and subscribe the show wherever you get your podcasts. Your support means so much to us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.